This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
Now the other side, the other stack. Last week, the defense filed a demand that prosecutors go back over everything, every file, every deal, every disciplinary record on every witness and certify in writing within 30 days that nothing was held back this time. Days before that, they moved to stop SLED from touching the DNA under Maggie's fingernails because one more state test could erase it forever. Nobody in our comments thinks Alec Murdaugh is innocent. What they think is that the people who caught him keep handing him the keys. That happens
yep.
a lot. The defense is demanding prosecutors swear in writing that they searched everything and turned it all over. 30 days signed. And here's where that lands. Last year, text messages between Alec and Eddie Smith surfaced that the defense says they never got before the first trial. Harpootlin said those texts might have changed their whole strategy. So now the murderers' lawyers, or alleged murderers' lawyers, are demanding receipts from the prosecutors, and it sounds reasonable. What does that tell you? That's the question that we got. With Eddie Smith and getting this this information, that they handle these things over in writing, what does it tell me? It tells me that they're going to try and impeach anyone that goes on that stand who's going to tell a different story than what they're going to swear to right now. So basically, they're saying to the prosecution, you need to lock down right now any road you plan on going down here in terms of this evidence, so there's no surprises in court. And if we find something, and I do wonder this, I wonder if Harpootlin knows about some of the things that maybe being held back by the state, and if they continue to hold it back, it may fly up in court suddenly one day going, oh, by the way, we have this. What do you mean you have this? We didn't turn that over. You were supposed to, and now we have it, and you didn't do that. Why didn't you do that? In a way to impeach. There's a lot of things here. I mean, at the end of the day, this is how discovery works. Both sides need to play their part. Both sides need to play fair if we're going to get anywhere with this. The last thing we want is, you know, the third Alec Murdaugh trial in five more years. We want to get this thing done and done fair. And even Alec Murdaugh deserves a fair trial. Hence why we're even here right now. Becky Hill is the reason we're here. We thought he had a fair trial until she stuck her hands in the honey jar.
Remarkable, isn't it?
So what are they trying to do? I mean, they're trying to find places to poke holes. And they have every right to do so because that's how the defense works.
Yeah. I can't believe I'm saying these things or recognizing the importance of doing these things until I just listened to Bob Mata so much. I mean, really, you know, and I'll give him a pump even because it's Tuesdays with Bob, and Bob is actually covering the Lindsey Clancy case.
He's in
person
yeah.
for us. Yeah. So he's in it for us. But I'm going to bring the attention to the Gacy thing, Buried, his podcast on Buried, which is the Gacy case. He does an amazing job. It's why I understand what the defense is doing here of, and I'm going to put it in my layman terms of what defense attorneys do. The real job of defense attorneys is not to find their client innocent. Their job is to make sure the Constitution and the law is being upheld. Because without defense attorneys, without these people, without Murdaugh's defense attorneys doing this, you could have a lot of shoddy work. You could have a lot of railroading. Again, if you put Murdaugh as a suspect aside, this is why defense attorneys exist. They exist to uphold the Constitution, the rights, the protections that our first, was it, Sixth Amendments give us, the Bill of Rights. That's why they're in place, not to find people innocent, but to make sure the system is working the way it was intended to work for fair and equal justice. Otherwise, welcome to the world of Judge Dredd. And that's exactly why they exist. And so watching and listening, as frustrating as it is, because like you said, everyone believes he's guilty, that's not enough because that's not the legal process. And so his lawyers are doing what they do to make sure SLEDs did their job properly, to make sure that everyone, that's what their job is. Their job is to make sure everyone did exactly what they're meant to do within the legal bounds of what the Constitution and the Bill of Rights grants every single U.S. person. So I get it, as frustrating as it is.
Oh, and the thing, people like to be very selective about when they want to be on the side of the investigators and when they don't want to be on the side of the investigators. And it's always very much on who you think is the shittier person. And in this case, Alec Murdoch usually wins that competition. But the reality, though, is just this last spring, a judge threw out a whole different indictment, not connected to the Murdoch case, but connected to SLED with the same investigators on the Murdoch case, the Colucci case. Look it up, because evidence that could have helped the defense never got turned over. So this very thing that we've been talking about of why is it important to turn all these things over? Because if you don't, here's what can happen. The same system, same era, same problem. This is not ancient history. That was this spring. That was a few months ago. So that is one of the big reasons that Murdaugh's attorneys are citing for the demand, 30 days, give us everything you got, turn it all over, because we're not going to screw around with you and the games that you already appear to have been playing in other cases. If you have a department that's doing that with one case, you can sure as shit bet they're probably doing it on others. It's not usually an isolated incident.
Yeah, I completely agree. And as great Bob Mata says, just do the work. And so I said, you know, I know we didn't talk about it today, but we did before the show. You know, it's why cases like the Nancy Guthrie case terrify me if they actually get the guy that they think is a suspect. And not because of anything else, that I pray to God that the investigators aren't disheveled and disorganized and as haphazard as Nanos has been on air. Because if they are, whoever it is they get, they got a high probability of walking because discover they're going to be able to squash all the suppressions they're going to maybe do because of how the case may have been handled. Again, if you're looking for how things are handled at the top, if it filtered down, that's a potential disaster. That's why when you are assigned these positions, you really do due diligence. That's why I hated doing evidence response team stuff, because the precision, the accuracy, the chain of custody, the gloves, the every single document. I mean, the work you had to do on evidence response for just these purposes is beyond my 50,000 foot brain. This is at the granular level, and I do not operate well at the granular level. That's why you got to dot the I's and cross the T's, because otherwise it can be deemed unconstitutional and defense will have it thrown out. And then you wasted a lot. Think about the amount of wasted time that could be done and the injustice that is done and a guilty man walks if they don't do it the right way. And conversely as well.
Well, I would love to know, honestly, if other people are involved in this. I mean, everybody wants to crucify Alec Murdoch, and I think there's plenty of crucifying that is well-deserved there. But I have always wondered if there is someone else involved, and not that he isn't involved, but whoever else might be involved should probably also be prosecuted if they exist. And I don't have a clear path to say, yes, I think that's for sure. I may be like 20, 30% thinking there might be somebody else involved. I'm like 70, 80 that it was 100, that it was him. 70, 80 that it was 100% him. 70, 80% him, maybe 20, 30 somebody else. I don't know. The DNA fight is the one that a lot of people are talking about, because when you sample DNA material, it runs through testing. I'm not a DNA tester. I don't do it as a side hustle, but I know there's only so much DNA you can test. It's not like, oh, it's here and everybody can go test it their own way. No, everybody gets there. It's a limited amount of the cookie that everyone gets, and eventually you're out of crumbs. And they're down to the last smidgen of crumb, basically. And the state wants to test the DNA under her fingernail again. The defense is saying, wait a second, we should probably do that too. You've already tested it once, and this is where you got, or you didn't test it correctly. So we want to run it as well. Where that could possibly lead, and it might lead absolutely nowhere. This could be a big nothing burger for the defense, where it's like, well, it's inconclusive, or it turns out to be very explainable in some way, shape, or form. But DNA under a fingernail, I mean, it's not hard to get someone else's DNA under your fingernail if, oh, I don't know, say you go shopping and you pick up an item at the store. I mean, it is it is transferable. It's mm-hmm. it's very easily gotten from non-nefarious means. But wouldn't it be interesting if you could name whose DNA was under Maggie's fingernail and what a story that would tell, especially if it's someone identifiable within the circle of World Murdaugh.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, why wouldn't you have evidence included? I mean, it makes no sense to me why you wouldn't for prosecution or defense. I mean, it's there. It raises questions and you have to flush those out. You know, when we talk about all these cases, you know, the Murdaugh case as well as the Guthrie case, Nolan Wells. All these cases, you cover every single lead you get and you flush it out until you determine what it is, what it isn't, and then you include it. And so we have DNA under fingernail. Yeah, you got to include it. I don't know why you wouldn't have it tested.
You know, I think a question everyone needs to ask themselves about any case that they look at, if they truly want justice, if you're arguing not to test something to its fullest extent or to go down the lane to get the answer when it is achievable to get, and you don't want to go there, you don't want whatever side to go there to find it, what is your reasoning as to why you don't want them to get there? If it's just an absolute answer that can be achieved, what is the motivation to not get there? And if it's because, well, that might disagree with the way you think the case should go or the conclusion you want, then your motivation's not pure. You're not interested in justice. You're interested in your side winning, in your conjecture being correct. And when it comes to justice, it's not about that. It's about getting to the truth. And that's what is lost so many times in these cases.
Critical thinking.
Yeah. And that's what we need a bit more of these days. So there you go. We'll cover the hearing on Friday, and you'll get updates on all of that. And we'll see where it goes, because there's going to be some critical things decided here on Friday. Maybe not quite decided, but argued Friday. And then we'll see how long it takes McCaslin to make a ruling. Sometimes that can be days, weeks, who knows. But it will really set the stage for what this trial is going to look like 8 months from now, if we hit that date. I still think it could be pushed out, but who knows? We'll find out. We will have a spring of Alec Murdaugh. Get your Alec Murdaugh Easter decorations. I'm personally going to do Easter eggs this year with Alec's picture on the side of the eggs.
I can't wait to see the AI stuff you produce with that.
It's going
to
be great. The Murdaugh bunny will be coming. And,
the Murdaugh bunny. Yeah, the slobbery Murdaugh bunny.
Snot dripping down.
Yes.
Nobody wants
great.
To sit all in his lap. Eggs. Yeah. Your thoughts in the comment section and Substack and YouTube on the Murdaugh case and everything we're talking about here. We're looking forward to that. Robin's latest book, It's Not All About Me. It's available wherever you get books and audiobook. Leave a review on Apple, or leave a review rather on Amazon. Greatly appreciated there. All right. Until next time, for Todd and Robin, I'm Tony. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.